I think if you were to give your political system a paper bag and say, organise your way out of this, they wouldn't manage it.
To start the show with a prediction, and that is you will listen to season 2, episode 46 of Bad Voltage.
Hooray!
Oh.
Starting off with the win, and for those of you listening to the last show, we kind of kicked the who's going to win the predictions for last year to the community, so stay tuned to hear who they chose.
What I love as well is that your prediction just there is not the lowest ball prediction in the show, thanks to Stuart Langridge. Okay.
It's not accurate, I would say.
Very excited to go through the predictions. I think we're going to have the blistering success in the next year, partially due to Stuart Langridge's low ball predictions.
Hi, again.
But we also have another prediction, which is on March the 8th, 2019, in Pasadena, California, we are going to be having Bad Voltage live at the Scale conference. We're really excited for the show. We're thank you to our friends at System 76 for sponsoring us.
Totally.
We also have another sponsor that we're talking to right now who hopefully we'll be able to announce, but we can't announce them quite yet. So stay tuned for that, but it's going to be a really cool show. Go to badvoltage.org/live to find out more. You can find out more on the Scale website, and also you can get a discount code to Scale using the word vault.
Yes.
And it's already a pretty cheap show to go to, so go and check it out.
If the show is half as good as that trailer Stuart put together, it's going to be once again epic.
Thank you.
Right.
And on that note, and now, Bad Voltage.
So in the last show, we told you the results of our predictions for 2018, and they were, how can I put this, not stellar.
That's true. Yes.
So I believe this is our chance to redeem ourselves as tech pundits by predicting what's going to happen in 2019, and this time in a remarkable turnout for the books, being right about it.
Well, so before we go on to that, we did actually put out a vote.
Oh, I wasn't going to mention this.
Yeah, we probably should, because you know we are, after all, world class journalists.
I suppose it's all about the transparency, isn't it? Yes. So in the last show, after Jono's frankly pathetic grovelling for points, we turned it over to the Bad Voltage community.
Not true. It wasn't pathetic grovelling. It was actually really good grovelling. It didn't work.
But it was mediocre grovelling at best.
It emphatically didn't work, because we turned over who we thought gave the best predictions to the community. So we had a vote on the Bad Voltage Forum.
It was close.
And so in reverse order, in fourth place, and not even on the podium, John O'Bacon.
with a giant 3%, yes.
3% of the vote. Then me, and I'm happy to admit that I didn't get any of mine right, so that's fine. So I was third, ahead of Jono, with 6%. SJVN was ahead of me, annoyingly.
Wasn't even in the show. Didn't hear it.
and he gets the silver medal. We should have like a Bad Voltage silver medal struck and sent out to
him. We should legitimately send SJVN something and say congratulations on your second place finish. Didn't even participate.
Yeah, no, I like it. Maybe it'll be at Scale as well. Maybe we can include him in the show or something.
We could do a little presentation. That's a terribly good idea.
Maybe he can give his predictions. the great Unix resurgence of 2019 is coming.
Now, that's not kind to a guy who was two places ahead of you, is it?
He got
7%, but the emphatic winner with 84% of the votes. Well, in this single-party dictatorship that apparently Bad Voltage now is Jeremy Garcia with 84%. So
I would say it was an honor just to be nominated, but quite glad I won.
I would just like to put it out there that Jeremy runs linuxquestions.org. So he is surrounded by a battalion of sycophants who I think have obviously stuffed the vote.
Yes, surely.
Didn't?
No, congratulations, Jeremy. You very clearly won. And also congratulations, SJVN.
Okay, second, yes, well
and
played.
Ack, once again, we suck.
We do, it turns out.
We had that one year where all of us did pretty well. And other than that, it has not been great.
Yeah.
So now is our chance to redeem ourselves in the eyes of our adoring public, as small as that public may be. So, who wants to go first?
I don't know. I'll go first.
Go for it.
Because I think I didn't do well last time. All right, so.
Start with the 3%er.
Prediction, thank you. prediction number one. So sometimes we'll predict about, you know, this company or that company is going to IPO in this coming year. But I'm going to push the boat out on this one. And I'm going to predict 5 companies that are going to IPO in the next year. And I would like to consider this the metric for this, that this is one if I get at least 3 of them right, for the majority of these right.
That's fair, I'd say. If you name a block of companies and you get over half doesn't count, but you get over half, I'd give you the point for that.
Right. And I'm actually going to add an extra bonus.
Hang on. Jeremy's looking skeptical about
this
half
thing.
That's
fine.
You see, he starts winning and then he doesn't want anyone else to win, the vicious little bastard. So these are my 5 companies, and this is in order in which I think they're going to of likelihood that they're going to IPO.
Clarification before, is it they will file and announce IPO, or the IPO will in fact happen in?
They will announce IPO, that it's actually happening. Not that we plan to IPO, that it's actually happening.
Question.
Okay, they have to file, but they don't have to actually IPO in the year. The IPO itself can happen in 2020. Okay.
When a company announces, do they announce a date at the same time?
Doesn't matter.
I don't know what, I mean, YouTube would know more about this than me, but I don't know exactly what announcing an IPO is.
When you file. So it's, that one.
Oh, it's like an official document saying we're doing this, and they can't then go, actually, we were wrong.
You got it.
Right. Okay. Then that seems fine to me.
So number one, Uber. And I'm actually going to add a bonus mini prediction on this. I actually think that when they do when they do IPO in 2019, I think it'll be the largest IPO ever, because they're currently valued at, I think it was $120 billion. So I think they'll hit that record.
I mean, that wouldn't be a record. It would be a record times 5. I think the largest IPO ever was Alibaba, right? At 25 or 26.
Yeah, I think they're going to smash that record. I don't know to what degree, but I think they'll be the largest IPO ever. Number two is Peloton, maker of the bicycle that is in our spare room. I think they're just doing really well. They've made noises. All of these companies have made noises about IPOing, but lots of companies do that. So number three is going to be Lyft.
Are we getting any sponsorship money off of Peloton?
No.
Why aren't we? We talk about them all the time, it turns out.
I would ask for a treadmill, but it would be the largest sponsorship in the history of the show. I looked at the treadmill, it's like $4,000.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, also, I think when they think about healthy, fit, you know, health-conscious potential customers, they don't think of the bad voltage audience.
Two-thirds of the team, which is well over half, qualify for that.
That's true. So Peloton, number two. I have deep reservations about them, their pricing strategy moving forward. To Jeremy's point about the treadmill, it's $4,500 for a treadmill, and it's not just expensive; it's freaking enormous as well. I don't know where people can fit those things in. Three, Lyft.
Yeah.
Not much to say there. Four, Slack. I'm a bit nervous about this because they're growing significantly, but I also think that they're hitting a glass ceiling right now.
I'm nervous about that as a 2019 prediction.
I'd say they're more likely to get acquired than IPO in 2019, but okay.
Yeah.
I think if they're going to IPO, it's going to be 2019, because I just don't think they can sustain it until 2020. So
okay.
And then the fifth one is Cloudflare. So those are my five IPO predictions.
They all seem fair, to be honest with you. I mean, the Slack one, I can see...
That's the wobbly, squeaky wheel.
But yeah. I can see them thinking... they are hugely vulnerable to basically suddenly becoming uncool. And the arse just entirely drops out of their market.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have Slack fatigue as well.
Yes, that's exactly the point. If someone comes up with some kind of new thing and people move to it, I don't think anyone feels any huge loyalty to Slack. What there is that keeps you there is the fact that everyone else is there. So they're essentially surviving on lock-in until something cool comes along. Whereas if they cash out...
Yeah.
So I can see them pushing for it in 2019 for that reason, because they're worried about the other shoe dropping. And want to sort it before that happens. But
they're going to have to launch new products. And the major worry I have with Slack is it's just a technology that doesn't scale. Once you get beyond a certain number of users, it doesn't scale at all. So it's
To be clear here, you're not actually talking about the technology not scaling in the sense of falling over. You mean
no.
having 2,000 people in
a channel. It's difficult to build
a
large community on Slack for a variety of reasons.
It doesn't scale socially rather than technologically, right. which we've talked about before, and I completely agree with you. Yeah.
So, and for them to compete, they're going to have to. I think they're going to end up going up against people like Salesforce. So I don't know. I think they've done an amazing job with what they've done, but they're the squeaky wheel of the five. Shall I go on?
Yep.
You shall.
All right. Prediction number two, I think Netflix this year are going to release one or both of the following services. One, which I think is frankly less likely, is some kind of streaming gaming service, kind of like that PlayStation one that they released. Something where you can basically play games through Netflix.
Okay, will this be Netflix themselves doing it, or will this be someone else with a streaming gaming service partnering up with Netflix, in the sense that Netflix have got a huge customer base and a lot of the technology in place, they've got the streaming thing?
So let me be very clear about my prediction here. I think that either of these two services that I'm predicting will be incorporated into the Netflix. So when you click on Netflix on your TV or on your computer, you will see these things inside of Netflix. It won't be... like they'll be distributing this. It may be another company that's providing the streaming, whatever, but it will be under the Netflix.
And you'd have to go and buy a Netflix controller or whatever.
Maybe, I don't know, but it will be as part of the account.
You
know, of your Netflix account. They may have an additional account, but they'll offer this as a service.
Okay, I mean, I think you're wrong, but good.
I think streaming gaming is where the industry is going to end up going.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I just don't think Netflix are the people who are going to do it. But.
And the other potential option here, which I think is more likely, is that they're going to start selling movies and TV shows, kind of like Amazon Prime. It boggles my mind why Netflix aren't doing this right now.
So what you're saying is you wouldn't have to be a subscriber. You could buy a Netflix series unrelated to their service.
I think what you could do is you could either as a subscriber or not as a subscriber, you could essentially put, for example, the Netflix app on your phone or your computer or TV or whatever, and you know, subscribers will be able to see all of the content that you've got today. But people who are either subscribers or not subscribers will be able to go in there, browse newly released movies and TV shows, just like an Amazon Prime, and be able to rent them or to buy them.
I would be shocked. It goes against their entire business model. They're an aggregator.
Yeah. So what you're suggesting is someone without a Netflix account at all can rock up, buy one film for $10 and never, ever buy anything else again.
No, you'll need a Netflix account. I'm not sure whether they will include... I don't know if they'll demand that you have access to all the content they've got right now. I suspect that they will. So you know, like how with Amazon Prime, you can log in with your Amazon account... you can watch all of the Prime stuff that's free to watch that comes with your account, and then you can go in there and you can rent stuff or you can buy stuff. I think Netflix are going to offer that because I think that they're struggling to compete with Amazon in this regard. It's so easy to be able to rent and buy content on Amazon. It blows my mind that Netflix aren't doing this. And the all you can eat model that they've got right now, that's great, but I think there's a lot of stuff on Netflix that you can't get.
I may not entirely be following this. And I was under the impression that in order to rent this stuff from Amazon, you have to be an Amazon Prime subscriber.
You are.
Which means that you're paying them money every month. So what you're saying is that Netflix are going to bring in things other than their current catalogue and then charge you extra for it.
This isn't part of my prediction is not whether you need an account or not. My prediction here is that as part of the Netflix service, you will be able to either stream games at a cost or not at a cost, or buy and rent movies and TV shows.
Right, but you're talking
about... You may need an account, you may not need an account, I don't know, but yeah, it will be part of the Netflix
service. But these are things which are... If you have a subscriber account, so you're paying Netflix money every month, these movies are not included in it.
Exactly.
Right, so this is something where even if you're currently paying Netflix, they'll bring out some new film and you'll have to pay an extra $9 to watch it. I mean, and they make them up with some kind of super pro plan, which gives you access to all of this as well.
Right, right. But they will have the ability to purchase that stuff.
Right, this is not taking some of their existing catalogue and making it available to people who currently don't have it. This is bringing in new things which are not part of the catalogue and charging extra for them.
And it may be that, you know, stuff appears and disappears on Netflix all of the time. It may be that some of the stuff that disappears then is available to rent, for example, or to buy. Okay. But they will offer both. All right?
Okay.
So that's prediction number two.
It's a prediction.
I have two more predictions and then a bonus one. My two predictions are related to staffing, if you will. Prediction number three is in 2019, Jim Whitehurst will be announced as IBM CEO. He might not necessarily start that job explicitly in 2019. It might be announced later in the year, and then it may take 4 or 5 months before he actually, you know, sits in the big hot seat. But I think in 2019, it will be announced that he is CEO of IBM.
Okay.
That is by far your most likely prediction so far.
Yep.
I agree. It will certainly happen sometime.
My only doubt is whether it will happen this year. Yeah. It might.
Right.
I don't know if the IBM machine will take a while to point in a different direction. And I think we'll hear a lot of talk about, Jim's definitely going to become IBM CEO, but not necessarily an official, yes, it's definitely
If
happening.
I had to guess, I would say 2020. But
yeah, which is going to be close on this.
You're going to we're going to be quibbling months here, I think.
That's so funny, because I actually think within the scope of these predictions, I actually think that that's one of the more unlikely ones. And the reason why I say that is, I think all three of us think that he would make a great CEO, but this is a big company and this is a relatively new acquisition. And I think it's going to take time for the whole acquisition to go through and the politics of everything that's involved there.
I think 2020, but I said during the show where we discussed this as a news item that I thought one of their main drivers was they wanted Whitehurst to be CEO.
Yes.
At Remedy's age, she's right around the time when typically they like their CEOs to retire. Like, things line up pretty well for this to happen.
They do.
2019, right. I think, is just maybe slightly aggressively timed, but the ones you predicted, by far the most likely to happen.
Well, to be honest with you, if they haven't announced it by the end of 2019, I will think it's slightly less likely. Because that, to me, would mean that despite the fact that they want it to happen, the IBM machine is so sclerotic that they can't get it done. At that point, the likelihood of it starts to drop off.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't think that, but okay. So next one.
Next one. So this is my final big one, I guess you could say. Zuckerberg at Facebook, he's going to step down as CEO this year. And I think Sheryl Sandberg should take over.
Really?
So yeah. I agree with the first part of that. Hilariously, the second part of that overlaps entirely with one of my predictions.
Now, there's some musings in the press right now that some people are talking about her getting the boot. And I don't really know a lot about it. Let me explain the thinking behind this. This has been, 2018 was a shit year for Facebook.
Yes, yes it was.
For many reasons. And I've noticed, I don't track Facebook news particularly closely, but I have noticed that she is being pushed more and more as a public figure. I think there's an element of her pushing herself, like she wrote her book and all the rest of it. Like, I think she's got like PR people behind her, as any exec's probably gonna have in that position.
Yes.
But even in those kinds of positions, COOs don't necessarily always play a particularly public race, like a massively public facing role. Like CTOs often do in tech companies. CEOs obviously do. CEOs, it's kind of variable, I think, in some cases. And I think he is becoming associated with the problems. He's personally becoming associated with the problems of Facebook to a degree. I think he's probably getting weary of being in that position. He probably doesn't enjoy it. And also, I think particularly one element of this is in this kind of new age of, or newer age of inclusion and diversity and things like that, having a woman running a company like Facebook, that's just a great move as well. Not just from, I mean, I think she'd do a great job, but she seems super smart, but from a PR perspective, for a company that's been suffering in terms of PR, that's just an added element to this as well. So that's my theory.
So you're thinking that the motivation for Zuckerberg going will be at least partially that they can get all these tickets with Facebook steal our data on them, tie them all around Zuckerberg, and then push him off the side of the boat.
I don't think it's going to be...
That all goes with him.
I don't think it's going to be so much that.
That's ambitious, if that's the plan.
I don't think it's going to be that. I think it's that the company is suffering such a major PR disaster right now, and Zuckerberg is so central to the public perception. I mean, I expect people like us to know about him. I do not expect people like, you know, people who are in the older generation who are less connected to tech to know about him, and everybody knows about him.
Why?
He testified in front of freaking Congress. He's all over the news.
No, that's not what I mean. He runs one of the 9 biggest companies on earth, right? People knew Steve Jobs was. Same thing, right?
Right, but I think people knew who Steve Jobs was because he was an innovator in the consumer product space, and he was put pretty central to the front of Apple. I actually think he was... That was kind of innovative of Apple in some ways to put him front and center. Zuckerberg,
People knew who Gates was.
Right. And I'm not saying that people don't know who he is. I think people do. My point is that people do know who he is, right? In the older generation, right? People know who he is. And I think what people are hearing Facebook and privacy issues and all of this stuff with the Russians and whatever else. And I think people are, Zuckerberg has become intimately entwined in the public perception of Facebook, and I think they're going to want to separate that.
Yes, Zuckerberg is emblematic.
I could absolutely see him getting pushed out or quitting as CEO. I'd almost be surprised if he made it through the year.
I would agree with that.
And to be clear, my prediction doesn't include whether he's pushed out, whether he quits, right. Just that he won't be CEO by the end of the year.
And I think I'd like fair.
To. I suspect Sheryl Sandberg will take over. I don't 100% know that. So I request that if I get... If he quits and Sheryl Sandberg isn't CEO, then I get half a point. Okay,
yeah, I'll give you half.
You fuckers are going to try and remove my half point.
I like how you're 3 out of 5. You're already asking for half points here. It's already begun.
This is preemptive groveling. A year.
Yes, it is.
You know what it is?
Absolutely.
It's because I'm a giant loser year after year. Okay. That's not going to go before the music, that sentence.
Novelty of losing constantly is starting to wear off a bit, is it?
Yes.
I was talking about Zuckerberg.
And my final bonus prediction, which we always say that we need to be able to categorically measure and quantify these predictions, but I think you'll both agree that we don't need to do that. My bonus prediction is, in 2019, people still won't give a shit about Facebook Spaces.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's a prediction, more just a statement of fact, but sure.
Yeah, you know, buses are red, the sky is blue sometimes. Sometimes it will be cold in the next year.
There we have it. Predictions. All right.
Good one.
Who's next?
Who's next? Shall I go next?
Sure. Yes.
We'll let Jeremy go last so he gets all the points. So
No points for Jeremy.
First one is, I think we will actually finally see a CEO of some big company where that big company has a big data breach and that CEO will get fired for it.
You're not counting Equifax CEO as, I mean, he kind of stepped down, but it was clear that he wasn't given a choice. So I think this happened.
This is, this will be explicitly, this was your responsibility and you fucked it up, retributive stuff. Equifax kind of was it.
Didn't the Target CEO get pushed out after the credit card thing? Like, I think this has happened so many times that I don't, like, it's going to happen every year for 100 years.
Yeah, I don't think this is particularly ambitious. I
think the CEO was forced out after the credit card breach.
I didn't know about that. I mean, I thought about Equifax and decided it didn't count because what, in my head, what this is people finally saying, okay, no, this is actually serious and we're going to do something about this rather than just the usual mealy-mouthed platitudes. But...
If this doesn't happen in 2019, I would be so astonished that I'm willing to give you a point right now.
Are you honestly believe that that's totally a thing that will happen? I mean, great.
No, I think it's totally a thing that has already happened in multiple years and will happen every year from now on.
Oh, okay.
I typed into Google just to look it up, CEO fired, and it auto-completed to after data breach.
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll consider that your one handicap point. So
No, that's okay. So I get 1 point anyway. The next one, I'm not entirely sure how to quantify it, but I'm happy for us to come up with a way of quantifying it, which is that I think we're going to finally see the industry actually embrace USB-C rather than avoiding it.
You mean, for example, MacBooks shipping with USB?
They're doing it. Yes, absolutely. And what happens is everyone complains about it and nobody else is doing it.
I have a question.
Yeah.
What doesn't ship with USB-C right now?
Right.
Because MacBooks do. Only USB-C.
Exactly. MacBooks come with four USB on MacBook Pros.
MacBooks do. Every single person I know complains about that.
Let me just check my phone. Oh, check it out. There's a USB.
Yes.
Okay. What can you buy that doesn't have USB-C?
Almost everything.
No.
Everything? Yeah.
No. I bought a guitar tuner that automatically tunes your strings. It's USB-C.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know whether you two are buying high-end equipment or maybe it's just different in the shops you're in, but as far as I can tell, people who've got USB-C don't like it. There are too many different types of USB-C indistinguishable.
People who've got USB-C don't like it.
Yeah.
Why don't they like it?
Because they don't have any leads and they don't have things that will plug into them and they want different.
So you could say that about
things.
Any other new type of connection.
Yes, absolutely.
We could say that about USB when it first came in. Old school USB.
Yes, and when old school USB first came in, nobody liked it. And if we'd have done a prediction on Lug Radio in 2004 saying this will be the year everyone finally embraces USB-C and stops complaining about their parallel port going, I'd have given you a point for it.
Bonus point for using the reference in the parallel port. That's that brings us back. Jeez. All right, granddad.
Well, you know, this was the point.
When I was your age, RS-232 was a nickel.
To me, this is a hand-in-glove thing. People don't want it because they don't have leads for it. All the random stuff they've got lying around won't plug into it. They can't borrow a lead off someone. You go into a coffee shop, they don't have a lead for it. And so laptop manufacturers, most phone manufacturers, or at least some phone manufacturers, aren't putting it in. And therefore, because people aren't putting it in, nobody's got leads for it. Nobody's sending stuff out. And so it's not, so the two things are going hand in hand. Certainly in my experience and the experience of people I see and people around me. I mean, maybe it's different for you.
I don't know. Google Pixel 3 and 3 XL, the Samsung Galaxy S9 and S9 Plus, the Galaxy Note 9, the OnePlus 6T.
I don't think you can buy a flagship phone that doesn't have USB-C.
Yeah, LG G7 ThinQ, the V40 ThinQ.
Individual flagship phones, which most people do not own.
Hang on. Oppo Find X.
Those tend to be the highest selling phones.
The Huawei Mate, the Motorola G6, the Z3 Play. These are all phones that...
I would like you to name a single person who owns any one of the phones on that list other than the Pixels.
Isn't the Mr. Samsung they're so popular. Galaxy
not
the
you,
highest?
Jeremy. I was pointing at John. I'm prepared to buy that you know people.
I honestly don't know. I usually when I meet people, I don't tend to ask them what phones they've got. My point is
you
that,
liar.
But hang on. This is why we need to understand the crux of your prediction.
Yeah.
Like, because from what I can tell, all new phones are basically going to be pretty much coming out with USB-C, right? And people who've already got phones that don't have USB-C, I agree that they've already got those new phones. But the point is that, are you saying that the majority of new phones that come out in 2019 will embrace USB-C? Because that's already pretty much the case. Those phones have already been developed.
I was thinking primarily of laptops rather than phones.
Okay.
In which, as far as I can tell, yes, the MacBook does it. Everyone who's got a MacBook that does it doesn't like it, and nobody else is. But secondly, if you go into a coffee shop or something, they haven't got USB-C chargers.
Yeah, they do.
Again, maybe they do in Walnut Creek, which is the point I'm bringing up here. I don't believe that's the case almost everywhere. You remember there was a point, I don't know, 6-7 years ago, where basically there was one plug for everything, right? It was micro USB, everything did it, bush, you were done. I think this will be the year that happens to USB-C, rather than it being a slightly odd thing.
Are you talking about? So you seem to be mainly thinking about laptops, but there's other stuff, right? There's IoT devices, and all of which are
micro USB.
So do you think that the broader industry, not just phones, not just laptops, but the broader industry is going to embrace it? I don't know how much lower a ball can get, but I. Yeah, okay, we can do that.
To me,
I think it's obvious that's going to happen.
What happened was Stuart woke up one day and was like, I am going to win this thing regardless of how obvious my predictions are. Prediction three turns out is Ack will have a beer sometime in 2019.
My third prediction, Donald Trump will still have a Twitter account in 2019.
I'm genuinely surprised that you're just seeing USB-C as the normality now.
Yeah, totally.
Maybe you're just a year ahead, and it's just me being here. That's the thing. I'm quite bad by that, but that's utterly not the experience I'm seeing.
Well, yeah, let's see. All right, let's move on.
Okay.
Third one.
Third one is, you remember the deepfakes video?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think this year we will see the first high-profile video which turns out to be a fake. This is not pornography. This is something political or
you're
something
talking about
like
something that will be reported on.
Yes,
like,
absolutely.
Most of the
and
news
then it
stations,
turns out
like
to be a fake video, which people didn't know. Something which, you know, appears on the news. It's hard to quantify exactly what this could be. Something which everyone points out and goes, oh my God, look, here's video of this thing. And then it turns out later it was faked.
The probability on this one also seems pretty high.
I don't know. I mean, this is a little different to me. I think this is more ambitious because, like, a key element of this is, like, it becomes real news that people, generally hear about, right?
Yeah. This is not some kind of a tech thing or nothing. No. This is
but I think his point is it's going to be so high profile that everyone would have to. It's going to be that they have some famous politician or someone saying something outlandish or doing or saying something outlandish in a way that it has to be mainstream news.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, that's odds aren't 100%, but I wouldn't be super, given where technology is and where we are politically around the world, I would not be surprised about this.
We have so far not seen this, and it's a really big Rubicon to cross, because the day that happens, from then on,
nothing's believable. But
nothing's ever believable ever again. Yeah. Anytime you see any video at all, your first question has got to be, was it faked? It basically kills journalism. It's really worrying.
I think that's a great prediction. I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's a great prediction.
I would like it not to happen. I mean, my get-out clause here for when I'm whining next year is that maybe it happened and we just don't know yet. But to be clear, I would not like this to happen. But I think at some point someone's going to pull the trigger on this.
I don't think you particularly want USB-C to happen either.
I wouldn't mind if someone came into my house and replaced all the damn plugs. Then I'd be fine.
What a nerdy Santa Claus that would be.
It's some kind of weird anti-crime where someone breaks into your house and then changes all your leads so they're USB-C leads. And then you're sitting
empties the dishwasher.
And then you're sitting there with your iPhone going, where do I plug this in now? Right, and then my final prediction, which is sort of bonusy, but it's much like your Facebook Spaces one, is by the end of next year, still no one will care about folding fucking phones. Right, by which I'm about to say there will not be a folding phone in, I don't know, the top 20 selling phones of the year or something.
This is also interesting to me because it directly overlaps.
The dampest of damp squibs, right? They're going to launch and just die.
That's an interesting one. So you don't think it's going to get into the top 20 phones?
I mean, I picked that number, but I don't know if you can actually get a list of the top 20 selling phones of the year. I did have a bit of a poke around, but as far as I can tell, all of these sales figures are made out of lies and predictions and stuff. So again, right. I'm happy to have this quantified roughly how you like, but... my assumption is we'll get to the end next year and we'll go, wow, no one cared about folding phones, totally. Much like we went in the end, no one cared about Facebook Spaces, despite you going, no, look, you see, they've got users and they launched. Like, obviously no one cared, right? A priori.
Yeah,
this is going to be the same thing.
So what's interesting about this is I think we're gearing up for a big push.
Yes,
this year of these phones.
Well, I agree.
Actually, I take that back. There wasn't... maybe I missed it, but I didn't hear about much of a presence of at these CES. Foldable phones at CES, which would suggest that this year is maybe not... maybe Samsung will bring out that new folding Nintendo DS lookalike later in the year, and then...
I think we're going to see people launch them. They're all going to flop, and then 2020, which is when they were thinking would be the big year of the folding phone, is just not going to happen because no one cares.
Do you think that this isn't part of your prediction? But do you think that just in general they're just going to fail?
I think they're just going to fail. People are going to go, why the hell would I want this?
Right. Right.
Basically, as far as I can tell, what this is people. I think there's lots of uses for folding screen technology, just not phones. And I think the company will go, well, what do I even want this for?
Yeah. Well, we need that thing that guy wrapped around his hand that we...
Oh, Rubik's, where are you?
The Rubik's Cube. Yeah, it's still not out.
Imagine my surprise.
Shock horror. He's a nice guy, that fella, though.
Right, Jezza.
All right, so first up, the U.S. will pass at least one major piece of privacy legislation. And when I say major here, I mean along the lines of and akin to like GDPR or the privacy laws that California did last year.
And this year they'll pass it.
In 2019, as a national federal law.
Yeah, so I made difficult predictions. I understand the state of the both Congress and House right now, not even open for business. Wow. So I get it. But I think it will come to such a head that out of the very few bipartisan things likely to happen, given one side is controlled by one side, one side's controlled by the other, I still think this is going to happen in 2019.
I would like to see that very much. I think the chances of it happening, I think if you were to give your political system a paper bag and say, organise your way out of this, they wouldn't manage it. So the chances of getting something like this, with lots of, which is going to involve lots of big corporate pushback and so on, the chances of bringing in something like this is minimal, to say the least. But I applaud your bravery for doing it. Fingers crossed it happens, yes.
Yep.
It's interesting. I think that there'll be a demand for this, but I think for that to happen, the straw has got to break the camel's back in some way. And again, like, I wouldn't want this to happen to anybody, but there'd have to be a data breach of such a serious nature that I think that the current administration will be basically forced into it. They'd have to respond in some way. And as we've already seen, without turning this political, with Trump, even the most pressing of situations, he doesn't necessarily buckle to the pressure. So that's why, I don't know. I mean, but it would like the RNC would need to be hacked, kind of like seriousness.
When you say serious, you don't mean in terms of number of people or the importance of their data, you mean someone influential getting caught up in it.
This is probably a poor way of describing it, but it would need to be basically the equivalent of like a digital terrorism attack. It would need to be, you know how 9/11, when that happened, it completely changed the way in which people thought about immigration and security and all kinds of different things. Airports changed, all kinds of things changed because of that, because it was such a heinous attack. I think something like that has got to happen, sadly.
Oh, man.
And I don't want it to happen, obviously, for them to realize the extent. And I don't know if that's going to happen in 2019.
I'm prepared. I'm not sure I totally agree with that argument, but I'll spot you it for the moment. I honestly don't know whether I want that to happen less or it to happen so the law happens more.
Well, I look forward to you being the first person on the list when it happens.
Which is a terrible way to think. And I don't know what I feel about that.
I don't think anyone wants that to happen, but I think
I want the law to happen without the impetus.
Right, exactly.
Is what I want.
But sadly, yep. The world we live in, the impetus forces the changes in the law. So anyway, but
it does in the US anyway. Yeah.
Okay. So it seems like both of you think this is unlikely to happen. Okay. Number two,
I'm going to stay with
U.S. based predictions since I have to go through the show with two Brits nonstop. The U.S. goes into a recession.
The what?
The U.S. goes into a recession.
Official definition of a recession is?
There's various different definitions.
Which is why I asked.
It won't be debatable. It will be clearly yes.
No, we need more specificity than that.
You've got to be more than that, because I could find you half a dozen people who claim it's in a recession at the moment.
Right.
I mean, whose definition do you want? The National Bureau of Economic Research is usually the one that calls it. If you want to hold out for them, that's fine.
I know in the UK it's multiple quarters of negative. Say this is a recession.
That's
what undebatable means to me. Because if you say, no, we're in a recession.
Who says random things all the time, saying one random thing is not a prediction.
So the definition of recession, just to provide this as an option.
One of the definitions of recession.
Well, this is when I type in definition of recession into Google.
Thank you, Paul Krugman. Step up.
A period of temporary economic decline during which trade and industrial activity are reduced, generally identified by a fall in GDP in two successive quarters
is the
definition.
That's
a very UK definition, but
heard.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Should we take that one?
Sure.
So a decrease in GDP for two successive quarters in 2019.
Sure. Or the NBER declares a recession, because they're the...
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So Jeremy's going to be wishing ill on the United States in the next 4 or 5 months.
to be clear, do not want this to happen. Just every indicator is there.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen.
When was the last time that happened?
2008.
Well, my assumption is 2008, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay.
I actually think we're going to see... I think we're, and I'm not the person you want to talk to about anything to do with the economy, but I actually think that we're going to see it for the duration of this year. I think we're going to see something similar to that we saw last year, which is a period of generally steady growth, and then the arse will fall out of it at the end. So like the arse really fell out of the stock market in December. Lots of people lost a lot of money, and they wiped away all the gains. And I suspect something similar is going to happen in 2019, but it won't be a recession.
That would very much not qualify as a recession.
He's being brave.
Yeah,
so bodes well for us. Language
is where
lowballing.
Oh, I keep these winning, so I figured I gotta go big.
Yeah, right.
And
here's
where the massive overlap.
How you won?
Here's where the massive overlap with your other predictions start.
Okay.
Foldable phones will outsell true 5G phones. Yeah, I went for it here.
Oh, true.
5G phones, despite the latter getting much, much, much more hype. And to be clear, that 5G evolution nonsense doesn't count. Shame on you, AT&T, for even trying. You should know better. But foldable phones will outsell true, actual 5G phones.
Well, that's lowballing it, dude. Come on. Because they're not even rolling out to 5G to most of the country until 2020. 5G's
nowhere. This year, I very nearly had a prediction, but I couldn't think of how to quantify it, which was 5G will be all mouth and no trousers for the whole entire year.
But you also don't think foldable phones are going to sell, so.
No, I don't.
Okay.
He's not in the market for a 5G foldable phone. We know that.
And importantly, neither is anybody else.
Yeah, a 5G foldable phone will not ship in 2019.
So you'd be prepared to... I'm assuming you don't think 5G phones are going to sell very many either. But you think foldable phones will be more popular...
In 2019. I think, obviously, 5G is going to happen inevitably because the next G always happens.
Okay, rapper boy.
But I think in 2019, foldable phones.
So I did a tiny bit of digging into 5G last night because I was thinking about making a 5G prediction. And my initial assumption was that my thinking of the prediction was that 5G will kind of make a splash in 2019. And then when I looked into it, basically the rollout plans across all the networks, at least in the US, I don't know what it's like in Europe, the rollout plans are running very slowly. And there's like this Snapdragon processor that is suspected to be powering a bunch of the 5G stuff that isn't in any of the phones. So I just think that it's relatively lowballing to think that 5G phones are not going to, like, 5G phones are not going to have a big splash. So it's kind of like, is the shittier technology going to be more popular than the unavailable technology?
Which one of these two crap things will sell less?
Inquiring minds want to know.
I can see that. I mean, the impression I have about both of those things is that there'll be damp squibs this year. But I think foldable phones will go away. 5G is, as you say, inevitable.
Right. Yes. Okay. So on to the bonus. And I have a bonus, but it's a little more comedy than it is actual. The bonus is Sheryl Sandberg steps down from Facebook to become the CEO of Disney.
Disney?
Ooh.
Is Bob Iger still the CEO of Disney?
Yeah.
Okay. That's, interesting. Part of the reason I didn't chip into the who will be Facebook after Zuckerberg goes thing is that I don't know enough of the players. So my instinctive thought was Sandberg, but that's not because I necessarily think she'd be best for the job and recognised best for the job. I just don't know that many other people there who would do it. But you think she'll step away? Why Disney?
Yeah, why Disney?
Just as opposed to, Procter & Gamble or something.
So I think she's going to want to do something still in the technology space. I think given the tire fire of the year that it was in 2018 for Facebook, I don't think she very much has built up a personal brand. And I don't think the time for her brand to be associated with the Facebook brand, I think if she stays too long, it's going to have a negative impact on her career long term. I think 18 is probably the year she would need to step away. I think Disney would be an interesting challenge. I think they are clearly focusing more on technology and would be looking to someone like her that has some, technology chops, but also a good personal brand given what Disney does and where a lot of their aim is. So I've not seen a lot of other people predicting this, to be clear, but seems like a good fit and before, seems like something that could reasonably happen.
Before we go on, and in the interest exposing...
I have an extra question as well, so go on.
Before we go on, and in the interest of exposing the broader world to the wonderful cultural center that is Buffalo... Could you say tire fire again, please?
Tire fire?
Because I just... Tire fire. Could you say car tire fire? Car tire fire. Go on.
That sounds very Irish, but okay.
I like the way you say it. Anyway, carry on.
I have an actual question. You said that Sandberg's built up a personal brand, which she has, and she doesn't want to continue to be associated with Facebook because that'll pull her down, and I kind of agree with you, but the implication there is that when Zuckerberg goes, it won't fix all of Facebook's problems and Sandberg won't be able to fix them either. You think the Facebook brand is now permanently tarnished, unfixably, and anyone who hooks themselves up to it is just going to get tarnished by it? I mean, I'm entirely fed by that, but it seems like you're also thinking it, but haven't explicitly stated it.
So I think the brand is toxic enough and should be seen as toxic enough, to be clear. Yes. For all the people that ignored the, and I rarely say this about people, but the terrible person that Zuckerberg clearly was for basically his entire life. Like, when you look at when he was young, how he treated the other people that he was with and the attitude that he had towards privacy, I don't think it's surprising that they are where they are, and I think they deserve to be where they are. I think the damage they've done to society is probably more than any of us are willing to admit or realize, and it's not a brand I think anyone would want to be associated with.
Let me ask you a question. Is it the damage that they've done to society, or is it, because this is a question, a broader question about social media, because social media gets a lot of flack, right? For, and I think we, all three of us would agree that social media has had a pretty detrimental impact in society in many ways, right? And I think a lot of our current political fighting and discourse that we have is because of social media, because a lot of people have this megaphone that they didn't have. But is that the fault of the social media networks, or is that simply because the technology has been developed, which gives everybody a voice? You know, is that the fault of humanity for being shitheads?
I
don't know the answer to that question.
I don't know the answer, and I think it's a really interesting question, and I honestly think it's something we could do an entire show on, and it would be fascinating.
I think that the
role that humanity plays in that and giving anyone a voice, it did not turn out how a lot of people thought it would turn out. And I don't know that it was really predictable. It was I think the internet in general, social networks aside, really forged ahead a step level in society in a way that only happens every couple hundred years. And those time periods are super unpredictable and have everlasting changes. And I think that it will be looked at as one of those like printing press things where nothing's the same afterwards and really can't be the same.
Yeah,
I don't think I agree. Giving everyone a megaphone is not the same thing as the people who make megaphones deliberately incentivizing the people who shout the loudest and the meanest through them.
I don't think they did that through ill intent in most cases.
I don't think this was, you know, twirling their moustaches and tying people to the railroad tracks evil that motivated it. Right.
I was a little hyperbolic to get my point across previously.
They're pushing for more eyeballs on things, but that is in itself, I mean, an example, right? WhatsApp, did you see this? Only in the last couple of days, have limited the amount of times a message can be forwarded. Right, so if you forward a message to someone else, and they forward it on someone else, and they forward it on someone else, they forward it on someone, you can now undo that five times before it won't let you do it anymore. Right, and it's basically their push is this is stopping the spread of fake news and so on. And I think that is to some extent in itself an indication that a thing going viral is itself bad. Well, I mean, this is WhatsApp, so it's on the one hand, lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of people are there, but on the other hand, it's not a public network. It's all still, you know, point-to-point, person-to-person kind of thing, or group-to-group, whatever. But I thought this was an interesting idea that just stopping the spread of things, stopping it being easy to just pass this on, like in the same way that chain letters work, right? Chain letters are a bad idea, and this to me felt kind of similar. I thought it was, you know, it's not a big deal, but I thought it was indicative. Yeah, but
what happens when the message that gets blocked for getting forwarded too much is the tsunami's coming.
Right. That was going to be my point, is that like the issue is not something becoming popular or something becoming viral. The issue is horseshit becoming viral, right? Is that you know, for example, if there was some kind of charitable drive, right? Do you remember the ALS videos, right? You know, where people were the ice bucket challenge thing, right? You know, that became a viral sensation. And I think we would all agree that was a pretty decent thing.
But it wasn't individual messages that did. The point is, if everyone sits down and does their own ice bucket challenge video, so the concept of it becomes popular, that to me seems fine. If everyone sat down and rewrote all the horseshit news they see in their own words and posted it to their own timeline, I'd basically be fine with that because most people aren't going to bother. So where you say are the social media companies to blame, I think the bit that they are to blame for is deliberately incentivizing people pushing for virality.
What I want to see is I want to see artificial intelligence. This to me is the most important use of artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence somehow being able to assess the authenticity of news and to reduce its transmission based upon that authenticity.
That feels like
there's a lot of dangers in there.
Alchemists in medieval times going, I can't get this transformation to work, but just as soon as I discover the Philosopher's Stone, it'll be fine.
I'm not saying it's easy, but I think that the solution to all of these issues with fake news is that you have to basically, we need to trade in facts, not fear.
Yes.
And to me, having artificial intelligence could play some kind of role in, not necessarily in saying this is true and this isn't true, like Snopes kind of thing. But basically, like, here is the, what's the score that people have? Like, you know, like the, what's it called? Like, there's the, I can't even remember the name of it. There's like a marketing score for accessibility of materials on the internet or something like that. But basically, if you have like a news item and here is the grading on how well sourced or how objective this piece of news is, I don't think it's very easy for humans to do that. I think it's probably very difficult for AI to do it, but I think that that's what it should be used for.
I think the stakes are so high and the incentive so high that the people most likely to game it are the people you want it to game it the least.
Yes,
so
right,
entering
exactly.
AI into that equation seems really dangerous.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know.
I concur with that. But yeah, this was a discussion about Jeremy's prediction and we appear to have got a bit off track.
We did.
We should talk let's talk about the social media thing show.
Make a note, because this is really interesting. We have a section of our collective outsourced brain which has got longer topics that we want to talk about. This should be in it.
Yes.
Jeremy, you said you had some kind of a joke prediction, or was that the joke prediction?
No, so I don't think it's a joke, but I think it's funny. So my bonus is the PS5, which Jono predicted was going to ship last year, will not ship in 2019.
Not true. I said it would be announced last year.
I don't think it will ship at all in 2019.
Really?
No.
You think they're not going to put it out for Christmas?
No.
No, actually, I can see that. I think that it'll be Christmas 2020.
I think it's going to be Christmas 2020, yeah.
Yeah, but given
so
the
I'm
fact
curious
that we've
why you changed
seen
your mind from thinking it would be announced in 18 to not shipping in 19.
Because nothing's happened on the PS5.
In his defense, he did think that a year
that is
ago.
Fair.
And we're still at the point where we've got occasionally a guy from Sony in a bar goes, I'm sure we're going to do a PS5. Yeah, look, here's a picture on a beer mat, right? Going from that to here it is on shelves in 11 months is pushing it. I'm better buy that, yeah.
Well, the leaks typically happen way longer than this, I think, as well. So,
true.
And I can't remember when the PS4 came out. Was it 2014? Something like that?
I'd have to look it up. Yeah. 2015 maybe, 2014.
Something like that.
Seems like only yesterday.
Yeah, mind you, the new Xbox has probably pushed that development forward. So,
I suspect
so.
Yes.
Have it, so.
All right. Well, there we have it. We have the predictions. What do you all think? We'd like to hear your predictions. Go to community.badvoltage.org. Share them there. Tell us what you think about our predictions. Are we right? Are we wrong?
So I have a couple of requests. I think of the Bad Voltage community here because I think this could be interesting. So go to community.badvoltage.org, and I would like everyone to post three things. The prediction amongst all of ours they think is the most likely to happen, the prediction they think is least likely to happen, and one prediction of their own.
Good idea.
And I'm curious. Ooh, I think it would be cool to see what the community thinks.
Yeah, brilliant idea. Good work. Yeah. He's not just attractive, everyone. He's also intelligent, too.
Ooh.
I'm talking about Ack. All right, cool. All right, so there we have it. We have a completed Bad Voltage show. I hope you enjoyed our predictions. As Jeremy said at the beginning, please go to community.badvoltage.org. Let us know which of our predictions you think is going to win, which is not, and what your prediction is for 2019. And maybe we'll cover some of those predictions, a couple of them, in the show at the end of this year.
Yeah, that'd be cool, actually.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we really have anything else. Just going, you know, we're really excited about Bad Voltage Live. Thanks again to System 76. Go and check it out, badvoltage.org/live. We're going to have a rocking show. We're going to have some prizes. We're going to have some fun stuff to do. We're going to have lots of surprises. So go and check it out, and we hope to see you there as well.
Absolutely. Yes, I have one other tiny thing, yes, which is technically a piece of news, but I thought it was hilarious.
Go on.
Just announced, there seems to be some kind of problem about if you steal someone's bitcoins, then you can trace who did it. But if lots of people steal bitcoins and then put them all together in a pool, it's very difficult to know who did that or whatever, and that seems to be some kind of theft technique, whatever, right?
Right.
Some people have just come up with a thing which apparently solves this problem. I don't understand all the crypto or anything like that, but the thing they've come up with is called Taint Chain, right? Which, as far as I can tell, is the worst piece of jewellery I've ever heard of.
Can you tell us more about Taint Chain?
You now know literally as much as I do know or want to know.
So you're basically sharing with this just because you think the term Taint Chain is funny. Amusing. Is that
yes,
why?
That's literally exactly why
please,
I'm sharing it with you.
Please don't call the show Taint Chain.
I haven't come up with a name for the show yet, but I'm not calling it that. It just surprised me. You know how I've discussed this with a few people. How if you've got a if you're doing a rebrand for your company or whatever, policy is you should always have a 12-year-old boy somewhere on the staff who look at the things, just in case your logo turns out to be, you know, one long thing and two round things or something. And you think did no one even notice this stuff?
I think they're trolling us. That's got to be intentional. Right, it's like, you know, the Darkness when they release that Christmas song, you know, Christmas time, don't let the bells end.
Oh, really?
for our American friends, the term bell end in England is kind of schoolyardish slang for the end of a penis. So this was like a national hit in the UK.
That's but yeah, so that goes on my list of you ought to have just run this past an ordinary person at some point first.
On another related note, I saw a thing on Reddit the other day. Apparently there was a police officer who was interviewed on some local news station. Do you know what his name was?
His name was PC Rob Banks.
Rob Banks.
I saw that picture.
Oh, love it. Nearly as funny as Robin Mahfood, who runs the world poverty thingy or whatever it's called.
Right.
Anyway,
that's enough.
Let's wrap it up.
Go to badvoltage.org/live and then come along to Bad Voltage Live. Not sure what else to say there, really.
Just that was a little along. Anticlimactic.
It was slightly anticlimactic. I do apologize.
And if that doesn't make you want to go to the live show, nothing will.
Shut up. Right. Cheers, all.
Bye. Recording. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
I honestly, truly do believe that you deliberately speed up and slow down when you're doing the numbers.
I don't. So here's the thing. Maybe I speed up. But also, Jeremy whispers 10 every single time. It's like 8, 9, 10.
Every once in a while, I yell it, but usually I do. There is much inflection.
I've learned more about how you two both count than I've ever needed to know.
Counting to 10, right. It turns out, more difficult than you would suspect.
Certainly when you count to 10 with two other idiots.
Three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10.